still on the throne. God's still moving. He's still working. He's still, you know, we have to know that we're living in a day. If it were really at the end where things are going to end up, right, that things are going to get weird. Weirder. Weirder than what they are, right? But God is still God, and He still loves us, and He still, you know, is for us, and hallelujah. Have you ever thought about it? God loves me. Well, I'm speaking for all of us. God loves me, right? And sometimes I just say, Lord, really? I mean, I don't see how. Because I've messed up so much. I've let you down so many times. But He says, and I just feel like He spoke back to me that my love for you is not based on you. It's based on me. And I love you with an everlasting love. And again, the closest that I can get. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 13, and we'll get into the word tonight. But 1 Kings chapter 13. But the closest I can get to it is my own kids. And they couldn't do anything to keep me from loving them. You know, if they made a bunch of mistakes and fell down and did things that they shouldn't do and all of that, which they'd never do because they're pretty much perfect, but you know, I'd still love them, right? God loves us that much. He loves you that much. So even when, like my daughter, you know that she's contracted COVID and she's real sick right now. She's her body isn't aching as much anymore, but she's got a sore throat and all the stuff that goes with it. We're trying to get her as much medicine and vitamins and everything that we can, and she's going to pull through. I have confidence in that, but I want to take her place. I'm her daddy. I love her. I just say, Lord, I'll just take that right now for her. Get it off of her, put it on to me, because I don't want her to suffer, right? And sometimes you just can't do that. I wish I could, but I can't. But that's God's so loved us that He gave His only begotten Son, right? Because He wanted to take over for us. It's so good. Hallelujah. If you're taking notes, the title of the sermon tonight is When God Speaks, Just Do It. Let me say that again. When God speaks, just do it. Don't try to figure it out. Don't question why. Just do it. And in 1 Kings chapter 13, we're going to read the story of a prophet of God. Now, when it says a prophet of God, this was a man of God. This was somebody who was called by God. This was somebody that God spoke to. This is somebody that heard from God. In verse 1, it says, Behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. So God's calling this prophet to go speak to the king. Now listen to what happens. Then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, Behold, a child, Joash by name, shall be born to the house of David, and on you shall he sacrifice priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and the men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign of the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes it shall be poured out. So it came to pass that when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, Arrest him. Then his hand which he stretched out toward him withered so that he could not pull it back to himself. I've never seen that personally happen, right, in this day and age. But I believe that there's a time where you're messing with what God says that things could happen to you that you don't want happen to you, right? And so what I want to really emphasize, it's going to go further into it, that when God speaks to you, just do it because it's the best thing for you. And when you don't do what God says, there's consequences for your actions. Right? Now, God is great. God loves you. God's for you. God wants to see you set free. But how many know that if you do the right thing, you get the right results, but if you keep doing the wrong thing over and over again, you're going to reap the results of that? Right? I mean, how many of us have folks that are addicted to something, and you've talked to them over and over again, and they've been in rehab, they've been to everything, and you go, well, you just, you know, come on, don't you see it's killing you? And you just go, well, I guess I just have to leave you to your choices. And then they die or get sick of something that they shouldn't get sick of, right? Well, come on, it's like, okay, if they'd listened, right? If they'd listen, then they wouldn't have to reap the results of those decisions. But well, watch now. Let's go on. So it came, verse 5. And the altar was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand might be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. Glory to God. God's got mercy. Amen. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half of your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat the bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded to me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way that you came. So God spoke to him. He said, go to this king. Go talk to the king. Go do this for the king. And you saw what happened as a result by that. But he gave him very specific instructions. God told him what to do. Don't go here. Don't do this. Don't go back the same way. Don't eat anything. Don't drink anything. Just get on the road and get back home. And now watch this. Verse 9, it says, verse 10, so he went another way and did not return to the way of Bethel. Now an old prophet, everybody say prophet. So this is a prophet that we're talking about that's going to enter the story here. Now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him the works that the man of God had done in Bethel. And they told the father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went who came from Judah. And then he said to the son, saddle the donkey for me. So he saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it. And he went after the man of God, found him sitting under an oak. And then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go into you, neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you. For I have been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, and return by going the same way that you came. So here the king invited him to break the word of the Lord, but here now comes a man of God. And just by the indications, this man, this old prophet, was an older prophet than this younger man. So you'd think, if this man is speaking, he must have heard from God. Right? He must have heard from God. And so I'm going to second guess what I heard in the first place. You'll see. Watch this. And verse 17, for I've been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not. Okay, verse 18. And he said to him, I too am a prophet, as you are. And the angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house, that he may eat bread and drink water. He was lying to him. Come on, he was lying to him. How many times have we heard, thus saith the Lord, from somebody, and whether they are aware of it or not, they were lying to us? Right? This is a point to all this, so let's keep reading. So he went back with him, and he ate bread in his house and drank water. Now it happened as he sat at the table, the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. So the old prophet's going to speak again. And he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread, and drank water in the place which the Lord said to you, eat no bread or drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. So it was, after he had eaten bread and drank, and he had drunk and had saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back, when he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it, and the lion also stood by the corpse. Here's what I'm saying. Sometimes when we hear the word of the Lord and we don't do it, we're setting ourselves up for consequences for not being obedient. Now, I don't necessarily think tonight that God's going to kill us tomorrow if we don't do something today, right? But this was a pretty specific word. And watch this. God wants us to know that when he speaks to us, he's serious when he talks. And the first thing you hear should out trumpet anything that anybody else comes at you with. Let me just give you a few examples. You've read in the Word of God where it says to bless those that curse you, and yet you get counsel from somebody who might have been in the ministry for many years saying, well, I think you ought to go after him, and I think he deserves to be, you know, and this is what you ought to do, and man, I'll find you a good lawyer. We'll do all of this. But in your heart, you've read, bless those, right? Now, if you go with the man of God, he must have heard from God. He must know what God is saying. In your heart, you know something different, then you're going to suffer the consequences of those choices. And God's not going to say, well, you know, I understand. The older guy said, the man of God, the one that I've used mightily, said to you, so that supersedes what I said. Nope. Sorry. We have to go by what the word of the Lord says to us in our heart and be obedient to that, because we'll be blessed if we do, but there will be consequences if we don't. Right? So when we read along the lines of something, you know, there's some parts of the Bible I don't like because my flesh does not like it. Did you know Paul said, listen, he said, if there's a dispute among you, isn't it better for you to just take it than let the church be defamed or talked badly about by the outside because you're going after somebody that's in the church? Wouldn't it be better for you just to take it? I don't want to take it. But I heard. So when God speaks, just do it. When you read in the Word and you don't understand it, but it's there, don't question it. Just do it. Or if He speaks to your heart to do something and it's in line with the Word of God, don't go looking for advice for those that have been in the ministry a long time. Don't go to the next meeting hoping to get a word from the Lord. Right? How many have done that, man? I can't wait. I'm going to go to Brother So-and-so's meeting. He's in town and he gives personal words of prophecy. I can't wait. I'm going to get up in the line. I'm going to get me a word. Well, listen, you don't need a word if you've already gotten a word. Hello? You don't need a word if you've already gotten a word. And if you've gotten a word, just do what that word says. Right? Come on. the Lord spoke to you, and this is just crazy, but the Lord speaks to you and says, listen, I want you to go to Zimbabwe. That's not crazy. I would love for him to say that to me. I want you to go to Zimbabwe. But you say, you know, Lord, I prefer the South Pacific. Right? I like the beaches in the South Pacific. And then the man of God comes and he says, you know, I believe the Lord's going to give you the desires of your heart. So you interpret that the South Pacific. But God has already said, no, Zimbabwe. You better go to Zimbabwe because that's where your blessing is. It may not be where your comfort is, but it's where your blessing is. Right? And even though the islands of the South Pacific are awesome and the beaches are incredible, you will not be happy there. Right? So it's like, Lord, what have I heard? What have you said to me? And you said, well, you know, I don't really get words of the Lord like that where he speaks to me like you're talking about. All you have to do is read this thing right here, because this is God speaking to you. So if you read it and it says some things that you don't like, just do it because you'll be blessed. But if you don't do it, now watch this, it's not necessarily God causing something to happen to you. Don't get that twisted. It's a result of your actions that have caused something to transpire that shouldn't have. Right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Give me a break. Right? I mean, he died. He left heaven, came to earth, died on the cross, took all my shame upon, was separated from God. That's how I'm supposed to love my wife? Yep. Yep. So what do I need to do with that? Well, God, you don't understand. You don't understand. God, this and this, he's saying, no, just do it. Just do it. Just do it. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the women and how they're supposed to treat the men who are non-believers. And it talks about, don't try to win them over with your speech. You know what he's saying? This is Bruce translation. Quit nagging them. And put on the inner heart, and let the inner heart, your inner heart, be shown the love of God. That will win him more than your nagging. Again, that's a rough translation, and don't take it as the gospel, but it is what it says. So what I'm saying by that is, okay, Lord, this is what you're telling me to do. Well, how many know that doing what God tells you to do sometimes is not comfortable? This guy had walked all the way from Judah to Bethel, and he was on his way back. He hadn't eaten anything. He hadn't drank anything. So here comes the prophet of God, and the prophet of God says, hey, come to my house. I can't do that. Well, the angel told me you could. Oh, okay, I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. I'd sure like to get out of the heat. Come on. It's like, no, that's where we have to discipline ourselves to come back into the Word of God and say, no, no, Lord, this is what you told me. Go back to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And to get you to where we're going to be speaking of, this is where God, through the prophet Samuel, told Saul to do a certain thing, to be at a certain place, but wait for the prophet to get there before the sacrifices were made and all of that. And so Saul, the prophet was late. He was late. And so Saul says, well, you know, this is a good thing, so I'll just take this on myself. I'll offer the sacrifices and I'll do all. Wouldn't that be good? God loves sacrifices, and I'm here. We got everything set up. I'll just take care of it. Sounds good, right? That's not what God said. God said, wait for the prophet. Wait here till I show up. Right? And so he didn't do that. Now go to chapter 15 and verse 22. So Samuel said, has the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice? As in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. Come on. What is he saying? Listen, you can do all the service you want for the Lord. You can go out witnessing. You can give in the offering. You can do all the things from a religious standpoint that you want to do. But if you're not in obedience to the Word of God, there's something wrong and it won't work for you. Are you listening to me? Come on. This is important. For rebellion, everybody say rebellion. Now listen, rebellion is a strong word. And we think of rebellion as somebody that, you know, once was saved, but they're just in rebellion. They've walked away from God. They're out in the world doing whatever that God, you know, has told them not to do. But rebellion actually is when God speaks and you don't do it, you're in rebellion. Right? You're in rebellion. But you don't understand. I'm a good person. I go to church all the time. I'm here on Wednesday night. I tithe. I do all these things. I teach Sunday school. I do all of this. But what did the Lord say? Well, he said to forgive, but I don't want to forgive. He said to prefer your brother or your sister. Well, Lord, I just want to be right one time. Can I be just right one time? And the Lord said, no, I've told you to do this. And you say, well, God loves me anyway. God's mercy is over me anyway. You're just sugarcoating rebellion. And what that can do is it can lead to further rebellion. And what it does is it begins to harden your heart to the things of God. I don't know about you, but I want my heart soft toward God. You know, I've counseled several people over my many years in the ministry, and I've watched couples come in, and I've watched others come in. And you know, it's more than likely, probably 95% of the time, the other person's fault. It's just their fault. And it's like in relationships, when's the last time you sincerely said, you know what? I was wrong. Forgive me. If that's far and few between in your relationships, I really think that you need to take another look at your heart and say, okay, God, maybe I'm doing that to you. And maybe I need to get back to where my heart is soft toward you. And I'm not talking about, you know, being run over or taking all the heat or any of that. But Lord, this is between me and you, and I need to have my heart soft toward you. Because I don't want my heart to be in rebellion. Look at, again, verse 23. For rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also rejected you from being king. That's a pretty tough price to pay. Right? So what am I saying? I'm saying that God wants us to just have a pure heart before him. But here's the good news. It's his goodness that leads us to repentance, because in that repentance, he's open to share his heart with us, and our communication with Him will become sweeter and sweeter as the days go by, right? It's a good thing, right? It's a good thing when God speaks to us about ourselves. I don't know about you, but I've been in prayer before, and the Lord said, Bruce, yes, sir, I want you to forgive them. And you go, Lord, me forgive them? Me forgive them? I mean, Lord, if there was a scale in this thing, my portion might be a couple of grams. They got pounds on their side of the scale. He said, Lord, the Lord just spoke to me and said, I'm not dealing with the pounds, I'm dealing with the grams. So you know what I had to do? I had to go to those that had pounds on the scale and ask forgiveness for my grams. But here's the consequences of that. Is they never did come to me with apology. But here's the deal. I came away in peace. I came away in joy. I came away free. They went into bitterness. You know, bitterness is an awful pill to swallow. It's an awful way to live. So it's like, no, Lord, my doing what you want me to do, it doesn't cost me. It pays dividends for sure. And I don't know about you, but I would never want the Lord to reject me for anything. Right? And I don't believe He will. His mercy is so good. He's so faithful. But at the same time, if I reject His word, there's consequences to the rejection of His word. Go to James chapter 1. The book of James. Hallelujah. See, here's the deal. I want you free. I want you to be at liberty. I want you to be at peace. I want God's blessings to be upon you. But there comes a place where we have to take Him at His word and just do what He says. Jesus said it this way, if you love me, how many love Jesus? He defined how you could tell whether you did or not. If you love me, obey my commandments. 1 John talks, it's pretty clear. If you don't do what I say, you don't love me. It wasn't this uplifting tonight. Listen, no, it's like, God, I love you. I want to do what you want me to do. And I wish I could sit up here tonight and say, you know, I'm the pastor. So ever since I've got saved, I've always done everything that God told me to do. I'd be a liar. Let me tell you about one of the times I didn't. As you're turning to James chapter 1. I was working at the shipyard and I'd come out of work and there was a 7-Eleven at the corner and I was going in there to get something to drink or something. And there was a lady came in. And some of you may have heard this before, but there was a lady came in. She had a baby stroller with her. So, you know, you could tell that she was kind of poor and all that. She had this baby and she was, you know, just walking through the aisles. And I had the Lord speak to me and say, she's going to steal diapers or formula or something. I forget what it was. She's going to steal it because she needs it for the baby. Well, I didn't want to get in the middle of that. But I felt like the Lord had spoke to me to buy them for her. But I didn't. I don't know what happened with the lady, but I know what happened to me. It still bothers me to this day that I missed an opportunity to do what God asked me to do. See, there's a consequence. Did He forgive me? Yes, He forgave me. I'm not sure of this, but I think sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us things to do and sees whether we'll do them or not. But if we don't do them, He'll say, well, what's the use asking? I'll go ask somebody else. See, so when you feel like there's something that you're supposed to do, it may be something silly like call so-and-so. Just do it. Yeah, but I don't know them very well, and I don't, you know, but just do it. I'll give you another story. This was years ago. A friend of mine, he felt impressed of the Lord to call this guy that he just barely met. And he calls this guy, and he says, and I'm making the name up, hey, Jack. Hey, this is Keith. The Lord told me to give you a call. And Jack said, you don't have to say anything more. I was just on my knees before God crying out. I felt like He didn't speak to me anymore. I was feeling like I was rejected and that God didn't care or have any concern over me anymore. Hey, Jack, this is Keith. How hard is that? And yet it was his obedience to that blessed the other man. So when the Lord's put something in your heart, just do it. Right? It can be simple. It can be really simple. Bake chocolate chip cookies and take them to the neighbor. Or let Scott have the pie. It could be anything. It could be simple. Right? It could be simple. But you have to begin to be instantly obedient in what He says. And the more tender you are toward that, the more acquainted you'll be with that voice, and the more familiar you'll become with it, and the more that you can be used by God in a way that He wants to use you. Amen? James chapter 1, look at verse 22. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. So just in that verse, if you just read it the way it says, here's the deal. You're supposed to be a doer and not a hearer. Because if you're just hearing and not doing, then you're deceived. Well, I go to church. Well, that's great. But are you doing it? I heard a great message the other day. I was listening online, and man, it was huge. And yeah, but are you doing it? Yeah, God spoke by that brother or that sister or whoever, and it was great, and you got really filled up, and it was awesome. But if you're just a hearer, then you're deceived because you're supposed to be a doer. Come on. Praise the Lord. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like the man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not forgetful here, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in all that he does. That's who I want to be. I want to be blessed in all that I do. Don't you? Don't you want to be blessed in everything? Don't you want your life to be blessed? See, that's really the goal of this message, is to get us back to going, you know, it's really important that I obey. It's really important that I do the word and not just hear the word. Because if I really want to be blessed, I need to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. And if I'm just hearing and not doing and saying, well, you know, God understands after all, you know, blah, 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 excuse, 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 then you're deceived. I'm deceived. We're all deceived. I've had many times in my life in the ministry of being challenged for what I believe. You know, because I believe a certain way, and you know, there's all kinds of different denominations, and there's Calvinism and Arminianism, and and there's Pentecostals versus the Baptists, the Catholics against, and all of that, and all of them have conviction about what they believe. I come from a place of word of faith. I've been in the ministry a long time, read the word a lot. I know and I'm comfortable with what I believe. But when I'm confronted with my belief, I must allow the Spirit of God to speak to me to change what I believe if He says something different. Does that make sense? And so it's like, Lord, this is the tradition that I've heard. I've had the, you know, my great teachers and my great prophets and my denomination and everybody say such and such, and that's how I believe. But then you read in the Word and you read it for the first time, you go, well, that doesn't line up with what they said. What you have to say at that point is, I'm going to take you at your word, Lord, rather than what my tradition is, and I'm going to obey what you say and not necessarily what they said, right? I want to be a doer because in the doing, I'm blessed. Everybody say that with me. In the doing, I'm blessed. Now go to Psalms 119. Psalm 119. Hallelujah. The 119th Psalm. And we're going to go to the 65th verse. Psalm 119, 65. It says, you've dealt with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Has the Lord ever dealt with you according to his word? If you're reading it, he should have. Right? If you're reading it, sometimes the Lord will just, and when I say the Lord will tell me, I'll just get this thought about, read Ezekiel 13 or read, you know, Psalm 54 or something like that. It's just a thought that comes to my mind. But in it, I'll get going through it, and there'll be a verse that just jumps out at me, and God deals with something in my heart concerning that particular verse. Now, I got a choice right there to make. Am I going to obey that leading, or am I going to just ignore that leading? Right? He says, you have dealt well with your servant, O Lord, according to your word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. I just thought, before I was afflicted, man, things weren't going well for me, right? Because I was not following what you said for me to do. Come on, things were not well with me because I wasn't doing what you wanted me to do. You are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. Come on, Lord, teach me. I'm open, Lord. Show me, Lord, if there's anything in my heart that's not right. God, I want it to be pure before you. I'm thinking of a pastor that twice in his life, think about this, twice in his life, the Lord told him to sell all that he had. All that he had. The first time he said, I didn't have much, but we sold our house, we sold all of our cars, we sold everything, and we gave it into the church. We went and rented a house, bought this old junker car that, you know, it's like a friend of mine had a car. He said you'd fill it up with oil and check the gas. I mean, that's kind of the way the car went, right? But that's what God told him to do. So he did it. So God returned everything to him. Things are going along great. And now he's just really blessed. And God says, now I want you to do it again. Sell all that you have and give it to me. Now, he had a nice house. He had two or three nice cars. more and more. But here's the deal. He did it, and God blessed him for doing it. Well, God would never say that to me. Really? Really? I think he might tell us to do things that aren't exactly in our comfort zone. But he's going to do it for us to bless us because he's good and he wants to teach us about us and teach us. This particular pastor had to learn that God would take care of him because God has now put him over things that are just super. I mean, he has money going all over the world, but he's a good steward of that money. He's not grabbing it for himself or anything else. It's just a great steward of that. But if he would have not obeyed the first time or the second time, he wouldn't have got to where he is today. Right? And so what I'm saying is when God speaks, we just have to do it. Just get that in our heart. God, if you say it, I'll do it. Verse 69 says, "The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in your law." Come on. But Lord, people are saying this about me. But God, people are doing this against me. God, this is happening. Lord, don't you see what's happening to me? And he's saying, don't worry about all of that. You just hear what I tell you and you do what I say. And don't worry about what they say or they do. Come on. Is that hard to do? You better believe it's hard to do. But Jesus said this, if you're going to follow me, you have to die to yourself. You have to lay yourself down, pick up your cross and follow him. What does that mean? It's not always going to be comfortable, but it's always going to pay off. Why? Because obedience is what he desires. More than your sacrifice for him, obedience comes before that. Let's look at this. Verse 71 says, "It's good for me that I have been afflicted." How many have ever said that? Oh, God, I'm sure glad I went through that. I haven't said it very much. Oh, God, I haven't. Well, let me tell you the story of a lady. And like a few in the room, she lost her husband at a young age. And you know, she went through the whole why and what and how, and it's awful. And for me, as a pastor, what do you say to somebody like that? There's nothing that I can say except you just have to trust God. You have to keep walking with God. You have to keep pursuing God. And she had a situation where she was working all night by herself in her room, you know, and what she was doing. So she was all alone in the house, but she was talking to Jesus the whole time. And she talked to him just what was on her heart, just gave. And here's the deal. After a few months of that, she met him in a way that she'd never known before. She was able to sense him in a way that she'd never sensed him before. She began to hear his voice in a way that she'd never heard it before. Did God take her husband? I don't think so. But here's what I'm saying. In the midst of that, she just did what she knew that God would want her to do. And it benefited her greatly. Look at this, verse 72. "The law of your mouth is better to me than thousands of coins of gold and silver." I've been reading, and it's my habit to read the proverb of the day. And what I mean by that is, if today is the 8th, I'm going to read the 8th proverb. And I do that every morning, every morning. Well, in the Proverbs, it talks about getting wisdom. Pursue wisdom. Seek wisdom. But then I've married that with another scripture that says that He is wisdom. So what I'm saying is that in my seeking wisdom, what I'm really doing is I want to seek Him. For wisdom outside of Him is not wisdom at all. It's wisdom in my relationship with Him that has eternal value. Right? So I need to seek Him. I need to go after Him. I need to be obedient to His Word and not question it. How many have ever done this? Lord, I'll do this if they do that. Right? I mean, especially in relationships. Lord, I'll forgive them if they forgive me. Or, you know, anything like that. I've done that before. Right? God, they need to get over here and just beg me for forgiveness because they're really jerks. And if I'm going to hang on to that, then I'm in rebellion. But if I get back over and say, Lord, at your word, I'll do what you want me to do. Even though it doesn't make sense. You know what I've just entered? I've entered into the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord means that I reverence and I respect Him and I put Him first over me. And His word is the dividing line in my life. Right? He's the final authority. He's the one that takes precedence. Amen? Y'all get something tonight? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word tonight. And Lord, it's kind of a somber word from one standpoint, but Lord, it puts us in the place where we can seek You in an authentic way. Where we say, Lord, we lay our hearts before You, and if there's anything that's not right in it, forgive us. And Lord, if You've told us to do something, whether it's yesterday or whether it was 10 years ago and we still haven't done it, remind us, Lord, because we don't want to disobey You and we don't want to be in rebellion. So, Lord, we lay our lives at Your feet tonight. We give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. And I thank You, God, for moving in the hearts of everyone here in the room and everybody that's going to hear this over the internet in the next few days. Lord, there's many that are suffering tonight. We ask You to be with them. I'm asking, Lord, that You just touch Donnie and heal her, Lord. I speak life over her, and any death angel that's around her, I command You to be silenced and get out in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, for Bonnie and her brother's family, God, that You would just comfort them and supernaturally show up in this whole thing. Father, we just give You the praise and the glory and the honor. For Sandy, Lord, who's in the hospital, I thank You for wisdom, for the doctors, God, and peace to her heart and her mind. And Lord, for all of those that are suffering tonight, we just pray Your goodness over them. And if You want to use us in any way, just speak to our heart and we'll do it. We give You all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.